Can I bring this down? Right. Hi, Jude. Great. I think we can get started. Well, welcome everybody that here. I expected maybe a smaller crowd, but it's nice to see some of the chairs filled in. It kind of gives a little energy for the speaker, and I kind of feed off of that. So, if I start getting a little slow or something like that, wave your hands or do something, and I'll feed on that energy. Yes, thank you, Joy. Last week, I had a wonderful opportunity to accompany my wife to her 40th high school graduation in Columbus, Ohio. And it was on the 4th of July, and she grew up there. In a suburb called Upper Arlington up there in Columbus. And I got to tell you, I don't care what weather they throw at us here in Colorado. I don't care if it's 100 degrees. It was 95 degrees, 94, 95, and 95% humidity. I will take this over that any time of the week. So I was following along the parade. There was a little flatbed where the high school graduates or everybody that's there from 1984 got on, and I was the picture man, so I walked along the journey. I must have lost maybe about 7 or 8 pounds of water that day, but it was a beautiful one. My special thing, and I will say this, I was walking back to where the floats were staged, and the parade had already started. And if you know the Midwest knows how to put on a 4th of July parade. I've never seen anything close to what we had there. And, of course, you have the Revolutionary Pipers, and then you have the big American flag that they bring out. And then you have all the veterans coming in on the Jeeps and things. There was a gentleman there from World War II riding in a Jeep. He was going to turn 99 on July the 15th. Which is coming up on Monday. So I stood there in awe because I'm kind of a World War II buff, and I've met a few, and I didn't get to meet him personally, but I stood in awe of that to be 99 years old. He looked good. But that was a very special highlight there, and of course, meeting all the people from the high school graduation, everybody carving out their own lives and looking back at the 40 years of their life. It was kind of neat. What I'd like to do today is talk about an anchor. And here's some questions that I have up on the screen. And I'll just go over them, and then we'll talk about them. What is an anchor? I want to keep these in your mind as I go through my message today. What is the purpose of an anchor? What are the different kinds of anchors? And what in the world does an anchor have to do with our Christian journey? Why am I even talking about this? Hold on. So we'll get there. I want to start this by going back to 2007. And I have up on the screen a picture of Mount Moran from Oxbow Bend. And the Teton, some of you who know me, I love the outdoors, and I love to climb. The Teton Range is probably my favorite range that I've been to everywhere. It's such a rugged mountain. And I had the pleasure of joining my brother, Steve, and a minister at the time at the Teton camps, Mark Mickelson, and one other church member there to do several climbs, technical climbs, in the Teton Range. I'd like to take us back to 2000. Take you back to 2007, and we were climbing this mountain. It's called Mount Moran, and it's about 12,600 feet. And it's kind of cool climb. You canoe through the String Lakes and Lee Lake, and you get to the base, and then you hike up. And we did that. Hiked up to the base of where the climb was. And we camped for the night. early the next morning, because that was the big pull, 10 to 14 hour day. We got up early, stars, beautiful, black, kind of a dark sky kind of a thing there, if you've ever got to experience that. Just absolutely gorgeous as we were climbing up with our headlamps. And we climbed up, scrambled up 1,500 feet, and then we down climbed a little bit to do the base of the climb. Some of you have been to the Tetons. You'll know the distinctive mark of Mount Moran is what they call a black dike, some kind of a lava tube from back in the day. And you can see that. I don't know if this shows up, but oh yeah, there. Well, you can't see the pointer, but it's in the middle of the screen, and we would climb that up there. So we got on our ropes, and since this was a technical climb, we're not going to free climb this. That would be too dangerous. We all set out, and as we climbed, I would put protection anchors along the way. We did that. This was a 1,000-foot climb. We did that 5 or 6 times, just kind of not leapfrogging, just kind of inching and going kind of like that all the way up. The reason for the anchors, obvious, we wanted to protect ourselves because the terrain was potentially dangerous. This was a moderate-level climb, but still, winds could come up. The weather could change on an instant, and it was nice and comforting to know that we were anchored into some solid rock as we moved along the way, because there might be a chance that somebody might stumble or fall, and the anchors and the rope would protect you. So we made it to the top and came back down safely, and I wanted to do this lead-in. Talk about anchors a little bit, maybe a little differently than you thought of, because when we think of a boat anchor, we're probably thinking of a boat anchor, and there it is right there. I'm going to talk about what is an anchor so we get some definition. This is from Merriam-Webster, and it says, a device usually of metal attached to a ship, we all know this, by cable or cast overboard to hold it in a particular place. It's pretty obvious. You've seen an anchor. It has metal flukes so that when it comes down, it grabs something and it doesn't move around. Second definition is a reliable or principal support. Now, at the beginning, I told you we want to talk about what an anchor is, what's its purpose, and the different types of anchors that we see, and what does that have to do with our Christian journey. So we're in the second part of this. And again, some of this is obvious, but I wanted to establish it before we go forward here. An anchor's purpose, well, it's to provide, obviously, protection and support. I just talked about my climb there, but let's talk about, let me read the second part here. To provide life-saving protection, this is with the climb, to support us because we are not intrinsically strong enough to withstand Satan's world and his devices. That's my premise, okay? This world is... it's getting increasingly challenging, let's put it that way, for us in Christianity. And we need to have anchors in our lives spiritually so that we can move forward and follow God's and Jesus' walk. So there's several types of anchors. I'm going to bring it back into the physical world. We just talked about a boat, and I've been on a sailing boat down in the... Windward Islands. They just had a hurricane maybe a month or so ago to St. Lucia, St. Vincent, and Beckway, where my daughter and I got to do some scuba diving. Beautiful area down there. But in the evening, we would have our little catamaran, and we would anchor to an existing anchor, or we just throw an anchor down. And what did it do? We went to bed, and we hoped that when we got back up, we would be exactly in the same spot. Otherwise, if you didn't have an anchor to hold you in place and keep you in safety, you could be dashed along the rocks or lost at sea. Not a good thing. So, that's an obvious one. Everybody thinks about that, an anchor. I wish Brian Wilhelm was here because I am going to do some construction stuff. Even though I'm not in construction, I do know a few things about construction. And when you pour a concrete slab for a building, you are going to use concrete. And let me just stop right there. A concrete slab, if anybody's worked with concrete, it is a very hard substance, a firm foundation if done well. And so you want to build a structure on top of it. You're going to have your support members. You're going to use concrete anchors. I didn't have one, but you've seen them before. You drill a hole and you put this nut down in there, and it expands against the hole you just drilled. So your support beams and then your wood trusses and all of that can be securely on that foundation. So it attaches weaker members as we build this structure onto a solid foundation. Now, I am going to go right behind me and get some props, so I will be right back. Hold on. Okay, so back to my climb. I want to bring in some tools of the trade. And this is what I would have used to go up to the Tetons. It's a climbing pack, and I've got lots of carabiners and webbing. Let's see what we have inside of here. Okay, so these would be my protection devices. I'll go into that in just a minute. I'm missing. Here's the other one. Hey, you like? I see Isaac there. He's kind of interested. See what's going on here. All right. So going back to the story, we would all attach to the rope, and there would be cracks or little places where we could put some of these choke stones. If you can, I'll just try to paint a picture for you. And as we go up, I would put this in. Into a crack and get it nice and solid, and then we would put the rope through here, and it would be attached to, we'd be attached to the rope, and as we went through, and if I went above, if I put this in here and I was going beyond this anchor and I were to fall, I would fall, and if I placed this right, it would hold me, right? And then I would pick myself back up and continue on my way, brush myself off, and so, and then these are some other devices. This one doesn't really move. It's just a piece of metal. But then you get these fancier ones that are based on the physics of camming. So you just squeeze it down. You can see that. I hope you can see that. And I stick it in a crack, and then the spring lets it go, and then it will not move. So that is another type of anchor that we can use. And I would have used several of these at the appropriate, don't want to trip on that, at the appropriate time, depending on how dangerous it was, I would place an anchor. And we would continue to place the anchor as we moved up the mountain. Now, the fourth question I said was, what does the anchor have to do with our Christian journey? Well, what I'd like to talk to you for the rest of this message is God's Word, the Holy Bible, and what I'd like to talk about is this is a firm foundation of which we need to place our anchors to each and every day so that we can navigate this world that's very challenging to navigate. It is. So let's talk about the Bible. Again, these for most of us are nothing new. I've just collected them into this message, and hopefully for some of you, it will kind of revitalize and maybe think of it in a different manner and encourage us. So, the Bible, we obviously know, contains the words of life, God's words. And these are all verses. I didn't list them. If you want to test yourself, you can try to remember where they are. But these are little abridged versions of different verses in the Bible. It is God-breathed. It is the truth. I should have put that in capital T. Here's a good one. It's a lamp to, not out, it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Okay, that one's in Matthew. And continuing, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. I've already mentioned that was God-breathed. I must have really run it that twice in there. So, God's Word, the Bible, is the firm foundation, as I mentioned, and worthy to anchor our spiritual lives to. So how are we going to do that? All right, so now that we've established that the Bible for our spiritual journey is something that we can anchor our everyday lives to, why do we want to do that? Well, as I mentioned already, this world is, it's got a lot of recently, I guess it's been for all time, in any age you can think of, there's a lot of crazy and dangerous ideas out there. And really, when you look at the ones that are that dangerous, they really are an affront to Christianity, to the pure and wholesome way of life that Jesus wants for us. And we need to be firmly anchored to the Bible to help us navigate and really protect us, just like I did when I was going up Moran, that story I just told you. We're in dangerous areas, okay? And we need not only the Bible, but this is my focus today, to anchor to it so that we can get by day, not only get by, but thrive the way that Jesus would want us to. And here's the thing. We know we're going to stumble, and we know we're going to fall. But if we have the anchors I've just talked about, it will protect us. Now, what I'm going to do at this point, I think I tried to establish that the Bible is a good thing to anchor our spiritual lives to. What I'd like to do is go through some selected verses that I have come up with and did some research on that are what I would consider anchors. For no matter how you're feeling, because each of us comes through the door with different things that we carry. Some of us are struggling with our health. Some of us are struggling with other things. And there are verses in the Bible that can talk to that. I will go into that. I talked to my mom and dad yesterday. For those of you who don't know, my mom and dad are deaf, so I have to use FaceTime and do sign language. And my mom at 86 she's sharp as a whip. I said, well, I'm going to give the message tomorrow. Do you have a favorite verse that you would like that gives you encouragement and that's your anchor? And she said Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. And that must mean where I get it, because that's one of my favorite verses. And she said, love is the big one. And I try to do every day with that. I moved to my father, he said, the whole Bible. And I said, okay, that works. That's a great anchor right there. He didn't want to pick and choose. I said, okay, that's great. Let me move to the first one. Now, this one comes from Proverbs, so the younger crew, this is a good one to anchor to as you start out your journey, definitely physically and also spiritually. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do, let me read the title. For when you need guidance, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about Him in all of your ways, and He will guide you on the right paths. That's from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And I'm using the Holman Christian Standard Bible on this. These are good words. This is a good anchor for all of us, actually, as we go around. And we don't want to lean to our own understanding. We want to put our mind in His ways, and He's going to help us. So maybe this is one of the verses that you wake up to or you go to sleep to. It's good to. I've been trying to do that these last month or so, is to be honest with you, with life's busy and crazy schedule, I have let Bible study get away from me. And so I've tried to refan that flame, so I have made it a point that when I get up, and I'm usually a pretty active guy, I like to just go run up into the hills or do something, I take pause. And I say, you know, I'm just going to pick a verse, and I'm just going to read a chapter. It takes me about 5, maybe 10 minutes to get myself grounded and to anchor myself for the day. I wake up, anchor. Okay, there we go. And then throughout the day, I try to get my prayers in, or at least walking prayers. We talked about that a couple of months ago. And then the end of the day, before I go to bed. I know I'm feeling sleepy, but I try to get a couple of verses in or a chapter in. When you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders, some of us may feel that way. It's a tough world out there. We all, like I said, we all bring through the door certain things, and life is hard. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. We've got to go back and say, look, every word that God has written in the Bible is God-breathed, as I mentioned, and it is truth. God isn't going to put something in there to tease us. This is the words of life. This is a solid anchor. And before I continue, I know we're going to have a sermon chat, like we normally do, yes? And if I could make a plug, that if you want to share some of your anchor verses that you tend to use and remember, that would be a good time. I would like to hear them, and we can kind of share that. If you don't want to do that and you have your own comment and say, that was a terrible message, no, you can you can tell me privately. Continuing. For when you feel afraid. This is from Joshua 1, verse 9. We know this verse. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Classic verse, a good anchor if you're feeling afraid. If you're feeling afraid. For when you feel anxious, boy, that's a big one. A lot of us feel anxious these days. I see that around. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's from Philippians 4. Verse 6 and 7. Another good anchor verse that you can get in there. If you're feeling anxious, God speaks to us through this verse. For when you're praying and praying for healing and wholeness. Okay, I just mentioned that some of us are struggling with various health issues. We just heard that from the announcements. And it was wonderful that we had some healings there. That's you don't hear of that too much today. And it's a wonderful thing. It's like a big weight that comes off, and God heard your prayers. I think God always hears our prayers, but sometimes, as we know, his thoughts are not what we think. This is a classic verse that we use in the Passover service. This is from Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. So if you are praying for healing and wholeness, this could be a pretty solid anchor. And again, it's not just these of and by itself. The Bible isn't little sound bites here and there. It is in totality, because when you anchor to one verse, you anchor to the entire Bible. That's the way it should work. Continuing on, this is something I was kind of dealing with, as I mentioned, maybe not passionless, but just letting time get away from me and step in on some things that I need to do. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and give me a willing spirit. Psalm 51:12, another good anchor. And I've got one more here. For when you can't see God working in your life, okay, that might be a big one. This is a classic one from Romans 8:28. For we know all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. So when you can't see God working in your life, you've got to know that God is there. Kind of reminds me of the footprints in the sand poem. You know, I say, hey, I only saw one set of footprints. Well, that was when I was carrying you. Isn't that funny? He was thinking that he was the walking, and God left him. But his perspective needed to be corrected there. I've got some more spiritual anchors here. I see that I have a little bit of time, so maybe we'll keep going. I was going to skip over this, because sometimes I kind of go off and talk about different things, but I think we're good to go. And again, if you have some others, or if you want to talk about some of the ones we've already gone through, that would be great. For when you feel ashamed, this is Romans 8:1. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. Another good anchor, if that applies. Sometimes we can feel ashamed because we don't measure up. But this one's from Jeremiah 1:5. For when you feel forgotten, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So comforting verses, another anchor there. And I believe this might be the last one. No, I've got two more. For when you feel life is impossible. Yeah, we talked about that already in a certain sense. But this is from Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Actually, I'm going to go right there to there, and I want to get the context because I don't have it here. And I just need to be refreshed on that. So give me a moment to do that. Matthew 19:26. Okay, so he's talking about he's talking about a rich man trying to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And then at verse 26. His disciples in verse 25 say, well, in that case, who in the world can be saved? And he said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then Peter said to him, see, we have left all and followed you, and therefore, what shall we have? And Jesus finishes out the chapter here. Assuredly, I say to you that in the generation when the Son of Man sits on his throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones. And kind of getting us some encouragements there for the disciples who became the apostles. And then at the end, let's see here, you shall receive 100-fold. Okay, I just wanted to get the context there. And I do believe this is the last one I have. Let me get to where I need to be. For when you feel like you don't have what it takes spiritually. This is from Romans, a few verses from Romans, a lot of gems and a lot of anchors there for our Christian lives. No, in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us, Romans 8:37. All right. So, in conclusion, we talked about an anchor. And I kind of gave you a different take on the anchors with my climbing experience, where we're actually walking, because a boat anchor, I didn't want to use that analogy because it's just a boat that's staying there and you want to anchor to something solid. Okay, I got it. But this one, I feel that when we go through our Christian journey, we are walking, we're moving, and we need to attach our lives spiritually to something of great foundation. And we talked about that. What is an anchor and what is purpose? We talked about the different kinds of anchors, and I just talked about what does have to do with our Christian journey. I think we can all agree that we need to do this each and every day. And not only that, I mean, we ultimately know it's through God's and grace that that saves us, but we do need to place those anchors, and that means we have to do the work ourselves. There. We have here, in conclusion, let us be vigilant about God's words, the Bible of life, and use it to attach our daily spiritual anchors and to protect us on this Christian journey. And I will take a look at that in the United States. It's going to be a wild and crazy couple of months until the end of the year. So I think, at least for me, I'm going to try to step up my prayers a little bit because things are a little wacky out there. So we'll do that. I'll try to place those anchors, and I hope I can encourage some of you as well to step that up as well, place good solid anchors into God's word.